Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Thank you for joining us for our 97th broadcast. I haven't hosted in a month, and I'm totally rusty and actually forgot my whole speech. I haven't had it written down
whatever.
In months. Yeah, whatever.
My
name is Carrie. Yeah.
Everybody knows us by now.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. My name is Carrie. You could follow me on Twitter at Diva Abdul. And follow us daily on our blog, divadaysforlives.blogspot.com. If you're a blogger on BlogFrog, you can also join my Days of Our Lives community that I started there. And we're on Facebook. You can friend us at Diva Days, and you can like us at Diva of Days of Our Lives. And all the links are right here on our profile page or share page here at Blog Talk Radio. And you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio, too. So that way you get alerted to new shows that are scheduled. Phew, I did remember it. Okay, we have Anna here tonight.
Hello.
And Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
And Angela, just letting you know, I do see you on hold. Give us a few minutes, and we'll put you on. Okay, so Anna, do you want to hit the half cut since they brought us such huge, huge, huge
yes.
listens?
I'm telling you, the Haptas need to call more often. Apparently, they're a huge hit based on our Blog Talk. So so if they're listening right now, at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka, thank you for our great ratings for this month, because we owe a lot of that to you. So they're wonderful people, great supporters of our show, and occasional surprise guests. So definitely follow at Amy Hapka and at Bob Hapka, and to be both entertained and offended at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And could also follow Mama MAMA _ Hooch, Mama Hooch, Marianne, or me at Kazi Hooch.
The other Hooch.
We're of no relation other than our sisterhood of Hoochies. But
right.
Don't let the surname fool you. Hooch is just a coincidence. No. Let's see. And follow at Lauren Coslow, at Kilt Trip USA, Andy Cannon, at Teo Penglis. Anybody else who want to pimp right now? Those are some
Patrick
wonderful people.
Yeah. Yes, to my boy Patrick Muldoon at Muldoon Patrick. There, we're going to follow him and see. He did finally put up a new concert from his living room, and he pulled it because he thought his guitar was out of tune. So hopefully he'll put it up again, but he does have a new song out called If It's True. So he'll get the get the album together. So. And, by the way, if you're on Twitter, let at Rose O'Lebrier and at Bob Hapka know that the Steelers are beating the Bills. And I am not wearing my lucky Steelers song underwear this week. I forgot.
You wear it all week.
And they're still winning.
No, I'm trying to wait for game night, and I totally forgot to wear it today. So the Steelers won without the song today.
Wow.
Maybe you better not wear it.
Now you better not wear it the rest of the season.
Yeah.
The song is no more.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a Pirates song because they're really fading.
I hear that they are. I hear that they're back. We are family.
Yeah, we won tonight.
1979.
We went from first place to third. So that's not really good. But we're still in wild card contention, so that's good. Okay, we'll get back to days. So let's start with our interview on Tuesday with Martha Madison, who played Belle Brady. Mel Black Brady, on Days of Our Lives about 4 years ago, and now she's one of the stars of The Bay, the web series, and her character's name is Marley. And it was a great interview. And my favorite part, though, is when she told us how she found out she got the role of Belle. So we all heard the story that, you know, Charity Raymer won and then Martha replaced her. But I had no idea she didn't know she was a new Belle until she showed up at the studio. I mean, that's messed up. I mean, that shocked the heck out of me. Yeah.
On the spot.
Oh, my gosh. Can you? I can't even imagine. Can you imagine just showing up, they hand you a script and say, hey, you're doing two episodes today, and you have a lot of dialogue.
Right.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Even try to learn the character or something about the character, or, you know, although she might have been familiar with the character. She said she was a Bays fan, you know, and watched.
Yeah, so
might have been familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Oh, my gosh. I was just shocked. And of course, if you want to, she's at Marth27. So if anyone wants to follow Martha. And she's a big Dallas fan. So.
That was fun to hear. Yeah, that was my,
she's a really cool girl. I mean, I'm from Houston. She's from Houston. So that right there
makes her cool.
But it was nice because before this show, we got a chance to talk a little bit about familiar surroundings down there. I'm not living there anymore, neither is she. But it was nice that we had that common ground. And she's just such an authentic, nice, well-grounded person and so genuine and everything. So. We all fangirled over Dallas. J.R. and Sue Ellen. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She remembers that growing up, too, so.
I didn't mention that I was quite a bit older when I was watching.
But I was already, but I was just going to say, she said she was 8 years growing up. I said, well, I was already grown up, but. Yeah, I think did she say,
I
think she said she
was
8 or 9. I guess that would be about right.
I think I was about 13 or so when it started, so And I watched the entire series from there on because I was hooked on it. But she probably came in later in the series. But so that was fun. And of course, we talked about how we'd love to have her back with Philip back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Mhm. Yes. Steelers just kicked a field goal, 31-7. And I don't see the half goes on Twitter. I'm going to have to.
I'm gonna have to
rouse them up. And if you guys want to talk about Matt on Wednesday, so it was nice, and Matt really wanted to do this interview. He wanted to do it the week before, but I didn't even have a computer that was working at the time, so that wouldn't have worked. it was working. It was not connected to anything. But it was nice to hear his thoughts about Jack and how Jack died, and he's moving on. Glad to hear that he got the lead role in 9 to 5.
He plays the Daphne Coleman character.
Yes,
so that would be great. Would love to see him in that.
Right, in Algonquin, Maine, and I'm assuming that's going to be the month of September. He's going to be doing that. So it was exciting. I mean, he's never unemployed for long. I mean, he's always getting a musical here or there, like Mamma Mia and Annie Get Your Gun. He did that Anthony Cleopatra too recently. So he's always doing something.
One Life to Live always, I didn't watch One Life to Live in the latter years, but I know they did a few specials where people sang or did like performances, but that would be kind of fun if Days broke out one day and just kind of let Eric Marstoff and Nadia Bjorlin
like
more like a singing, like kind of a corny campy thing, but like let them show their talent and have Matt sing too. I thought that would have been cool.
Oh, they're all very talented. When I saw them at Day of Days, I was amazed.
That's
what
right.
They put on
you
an
got
amazing
to see
show.
The performance and Molly Burnett
and Matt was,
sings.
Matt was wonderful. And Wally Kurth and, Patrick Muldoon, all of them, all the ones. They're all great singers, entertainers like that. No, but Matt.
Yeah, it's sad that that he's done.
Yeah, like they always, like I told Matt on the interview, Dave does it all the time. They let the best actors go.
Yes, they do.
The history, just look at recently the actors that they just let go. I mean, all the time. Mm-hmm. And they keep the worst actors for some reason. And they pimp them. And I just don't understand that. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and every time they ask
the
good...
like two emotions. Their range.
Exactly.
Is,
and
yeah.
Everybody knows who we mean. It's so
yeah.
obvious. I know there's fans of them out there, but, you know, but looks aren't, according to Dave, I think looks are everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the talent, it's about the looks, I guess. But,
well, heck, even the people we let go that are talented are good-looking. I mean, it's like...
And
good-looking, like,
right. And then there's a lot of them that are good-looking and talented, so, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they all are. They're all. Nice
I mean, I'm sorry, but it was Emmy. It was Emmy Gold with Ian Buchanan, James Scott, and Joe Mascola
together. This week?
Throw
week.
Warren Coslow into the mix, and I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
People would not turn that off. I mean, that's just pathetic. You know, it's pathetic to let talent like that go. It's just disgusting.
And that's where all on Twitter and everywhere else, that's where everyone you were seeing all the tweets was about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nobody gives a crap about Gabby or any of that crap. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. And I don't know. And Rafe came back at the end of the disaster, and I didn't even miss him the whole week.
You know, it's so funny. Was that kind of like that? I know that was a week. That was a week ago. I know, but like,
yeah.
Wasn't that kind of like the proverbial letting the air out of the proverbial balloon? I mean, it's like wah wah wah. You know, like, okay, you guys have had your fun. This is an awesome week of drama, and now Rafe's back.
And yeah. But I just loved it. But I couldn't stand how like smug and everything, like how he was, and then Kim and rest EJ, and it's just so you know. I was just so glad that he made them look like idiots again. Of course, that doesn't take much to make Rafe and the same look idiots. You know, because, you know, he wouldn't believe EJ. He kept telling him, you know, Stefano's alive. I didn't murder anybody.
He had to ruin all those Grady Jammy scenes with the BS at the end. This week with the Rafe and Sammy flashback bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now it's Sammy having her doubts, and now Sammy, like, now she's torn between the two of them again.
Oh, my God. That girl, she's got some problems.
Yeah, and then there's poor Lucas.
Poor Lucas, 2 weeks ago, she was professing her love for him.
For Lucas,
and now it's like, Lucas who?
Yeah.
I mean, if she has to be in a triangle, I'd rather be Lucas, EJ, and Sammy than Rafe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad Lucas has come to his senses and he's going to dump her. Then I'm just wondering who's going to go to next.
I don't know. Oh, and then when EJ was explaining that Stefano was again live yet again, Rafe said, "Oh, how original!" And it's kind of like the writers making fun of themselves, I guess, because, really original. Now, you know, another time that, you know, Stefano. And what did you guys think about how they explained what happened to him? You know, why he was, you know, with somebody, they got somebody that looked just like him to put him in a coffin and all that. That was just like, he's done that before. It's so far-fetched. I mean, that was kind of all hurried and I think put together, I guess, with Ian and trying to explain how Ian was involved with a coin and everything.
Yeah.
That was kind
think
of confusing and
of,
kind of like, of, just didn't make sense to me.
Well, it's like a bullshit thing put together to send somebody packing is what it was. And just think if all of that could have played out over time instead of them cutting his scenes and like pretending like
they could have made him a real Demira.
This
yes.
could have been such a great
good.
Story.
Right.
Anytime you go back to history like that on a spoof, and like just like, you know, Santine started out like a good story until they ran it into the ground several years ago. But it's like, you know, that whole, you know, wow, the fact that you know, the Bradys were actually part Demira or whatever. I mean, like there was such great stuff there, you know. And I mean, this could have been another case of where, wow, how powerful that story could have been if it had played out longer. But instead, suddenly, you know, Kate's not the love of Ian's life. He was just playing her, and he really loves Madison, and he loved Madison all along. Now, I'm sorry, even if you like Sarah Brown as an actress, as far as the character goes, as far as, you know, you put Kate and what's-her-name up against each other, no way in hell someone's going to pick Madison over Kate. But in my opinion, of course, I'm biased, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, I mean, what kind of BS is that, you know? And so it just...
You could tell the story was all rewritten and chopped and tried to make...
totally.
To get... Yes. You could tell that, you know...
Unfortunately, they started chopping it barely out of the gate before they even had a chance to fully explore the character, which was... It really robbed Ian of an opportunity to really, you know... Mm-hmm. You know, groom that character.
But he did play a great crazy guy. I mean,
oh my gosh,
a great
wow,
bad man. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh,
could have been. They'd have kept him on a good adversary for even like Victor and Stefano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, they could have done so much with a character.
Oh yeah, it's just pathetic. Well, and the fact that ultimately Brady and Ian, if they were both, I mean, they're both Demira, so. As much as they hated each other, they were technically related. I mean, even that angle would have been interesting. So,
he didn't even have to be a
DeMira. And the scenes with EJ and Ian before, and then the ones with this one, they're so good together. I mean, my gosh, that would have just been so magical, you know? And they were going to, at one point, you know, like, I don't know, it just, like, what if Ian had been EJ, or EJ had been Ian's, or something? That could have been so good, and they just drove it into the ground, and it's just sad. Just a sad loss to see what could have been. I'm just hoping that the rumors are true that Ian's going to GH now, because I will start watching.
Oh yes, that's a big rumor out there. I think it's true. If GH has some kind of announcement on Monday or something, something big or something,
that
I see.
And if that's true, I will be tuning back into GH after many years of not watching.
We are trying to get out of Ian on Twitter, and he says his tweets are sealed.
Yeah.
So he's not talking, which still makes, there's kind of, I'm thinking it's true. So.
I'm thinking there's
I might have to
there.
Watch General Hospital, too. So.
Yeah, I think I may have to. I may watch it more than Dave. I'm so mad right now.
Oh, I wanted to mention with Stefano when Bowen Hope showed up, and he goes, well. And they all, like, just jumped out of their skin. And I'm just watching I laughed my head off. It was hilarious. And then we never saw Stefano again.
No. I was waiting for It's Good to Be Back. You know, we haven't heard that yet. You know.
No, and then they left town.
he went away.
Where they said,
Who had
the line? Was it Will, or who had the line that said, too bad we can't bring people back from the dead that we want back or something? Or
that was Lucas.
Somebody made some crack.
That was Lucas.
That's right. That was funny.
Too bad we can't choose who we want to come back from the dead, So, which would be Jack.
Because definitely on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
He retweeted this guy who wrote, people live now to appease the thoughts and feelings of others to avoid conflict. Well, I say to hell with that. And that's what Bob retweeted. That's a good mantra. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to know.
This is why we invite you to follow Bob at Bob Hafka.
Yes.
You're always going to know where you stand with Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, love him. So, So, I'm pissed because I have to admit, I only got to see bits and pieces of some of the episodes, so I don't know all. I have to go back and watch. Well, I don't have to, but I want to go back and watch the rest because I know Kate's in some scenes that I didn't see, and some of my other favorites are in some scenes I didn't see yet. But, it was so sad. Like, was it Friday where Kate delivers I know I'm skipping ahead, but she delivers this letter to Chad, and she's trying to tell him, that Stefan had this letter and he's alive and everything. And, you know, in the letter it says that he should stay away from her. I was just like, wow. So, I don't know, it just made me sad. It's like she really loves Stefano. And even though I hate the way they wrote Ian out and everything, and I'm pissed about the way they treated him, I loved that State were so perfect together before he decided to do that stupid test, which was so random. But anyway, But, you know, it just made me sad thinking that, you know, Kate's losing everything, you know. It's just, I don't know. Like, what?
Yeah, but there was some Kate and Roman scenes.
See, and I missed those.
There's
the
potential there,
yeah.
And the Roman needs somebody. I mean,
yeah. Seems like a lot of
Stefano doesn't want her.
That.
Ian's gone. But, you know.
Yeah.
So. Then there's always Brady, too, so you never know.
Oh, Brady.
Yeah,
that would be
Brady.
Hot.
Yeah,
Ooh,
Brady,
Brady
needs something. Yeah.
Ooh, Kate, Brady needs some loving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting hot just thinking about that one.
Yeah, and Nicole, she's nuts, not going
like
after
Kate.
Brady, goes after Daniel.
I've always
oh, God.
Said, I, you know, just for a moment, I'd like to see what Kate's highlights look up against Brady's bare chest. I don't know. It's just a thought. It just seems like it might. It just seems like those two things might go well together. But I could be wrong.
Because
he does have one of the most gorgeous chests on daytime, I must say.
Oh,
but,
yeah, he does.
You know, even though I like the ones with hair too. Don't get me wrong. I'm an equal opportunity chest lover. The Greek has just.
You prefer the hairy chest.
The other direction, yes. But I have to say, Eric Martasoff does have a very, very nice physique, we'll say. But I'm so sick of seeing Madison next to it. I'd really like to see something like Kate, but, you know, that would be in my dreams. I think they could be really, I mean,
yeah.
even in the grief hug, they were hot, you know, a week ago when she hugged him and was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, okay, yeah, go for it. Like, pour it on, girlfriend. Yeah, and I like gray Brady better than wishy-washy, boring Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's
dark
back
Brady.
To drinking. Yeah, he's not going to drink anymore, so.
No.
No, what are you, scruffy?
Oh, my God. Bob Hafka tweeted that Roman needs assisted living.
Oh, he must be listening to us.
Oh, that's funny. He must be.
Bob.
He must be. We just
love
talked
to
about Roman.
Hear your,
mm-hmm.
I'd love
yeah.
to hear your sexy voice again, Bob. And Amy, if you're there, we'd love to hear from you. We were so shocked. They had us so surprised last time.
I was
we
the only
like,
one that was happy to see Rafe back, huh?
Oh, that's true. And they, and
yeah.
I know Bob liked Madison.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Hey, we're all entitled to our own opinions, right?
That's right.
That's what makes the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. I have to say the most annoying thing of the week, besides Rafe, was Maggie pipping Daniel literally 10 seconds after she found out Jack was dead.
Oh, please.
That was disgusting. And thank God Daniel's like, no, I'm not going to go see Jen. Her husband just
right.
died.
Yeah. They're starting already.
I mean, Maggie has known Jack forever. So, I mean, what, 25 years? So I don't understand why she threw his dead body under the bus. I mean, that was just the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Well, and isn't that kind of weird, too? Like, isn't Jack, like, I'm trying to think the relationship, but isn't Jack, what's his name, Sonny's uncle, and he doesn't even, is that right? Is that his uncle, right?
Sonny's uncle,
Jack?
Yes.
Because Adrian
yeah,
and Jack
and
are brothers and sisters.
He's more worried about, you know, like, I don't know, that was just weird. He wasn't even acting, at least the scenes I saw, he wasn't even acting like he knew his uncle was dead.
Yeah. Well, Justin and Adrian weren't even at the Horton, you know, with everybody.
I mean,
they
were
Jennifer.
There
no.
to, like, hear about
they were
it
at the
instead of being
yeah they
told,
were there to hear
but,
about it. Well, at least they told him anyway. At least they were in scenes that she actually found out that her brother was dead.
Yeah, those scenes were like 2 minutes long.
That was
Jack
it.
And Jen said Jack's gone, and they eventually knew that she meant that he was dead and not gone. You know, just left the building, and that was it. And considering Adrian and Abby are Jack's only blood relatives on the show, it would have made sense for Adrian to be at the... poor Jack didn't even get a memorial. I mean, here we go, 2 months ago, we had a fantastic memorial for Lexi. with toasts and stories and flashbacks. And with Jack, we got the jade plant and that they're saying that they had. I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try it. But it was terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Certain actors just get the shaft every time they, you know, write them out or their death or their whatever. Yeah, they don't get much. I don't know. They do it to Matt Ashford a lot, all the time, actually, you know. Well, every time he comes back.
Yep. So they didn't even have his ashes prepared yet, and Maggie's running off to the hospital to get Dave's girl. Oh, my gosh, that was just awful. It was worse than Julie running around pissing Nick to everybody this week.
Julie, what's this, you know? It's not even about Melanie, right? She's worried about Nick getting out. Like,
isn't
when were they that close?
That suddenly
she probably didn't even know Nick.
Melanie's just been rescued from being kidnapped from another psycho, and suddenly Nick. I mean, I love Blake Barris, don't get me wrong. And he was adorable when we interviewed him. But I'm just saying, like,
way to introduce him, I think.
Writing, that's so stupid. I mean, Julie should be in mourning over Jack. She shouldn't be worried about, like, pimping Nick yet,
a cousin she barely knew.
Yeah.
Really?
It was weird. It was just weird.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I thought was funny, and this is something Rose would totally catch. I don't know if she's listening or not, but hey, Rose, shout out to Rose if she's out there. I'm not online, so I can't tell who's in the chat room right now. But anyway, I thought it was funny when they're like, well, does Melanie even know about the probation? And I think Julie or somebody goes, well, she was mailed a letter. I'm like, excuse me, if he's not been paying attention, Melanie's been underground in a gas, in a gas tunnel for like how many weeks and held captive for how many weeks before that. I doubt that she's picked up her mail lately. Stupid. You know, like, are you serious? Oh, so funny. I don't know.
Oh, Hapka was retweeting my tweet.
I know.
Oh, that's where it came from. Okay, I just see it now. That's because I put it out there about Kate and Roman.
Oh.
Giving us more Cayman scenes. And that's what he said. He needs to listen. Oh. Okay.
I retweeted that one too, actually.
Scene that was kind of like disturbing, but just like didn't make sense, is Will and Gabby.
Oh, yeah.
Will, what did you think? I mean, he's trying so hard not to be gay, I guess, or questioning.
Well,
still questioning himself. I mean, that was a little.
I mean,
taking
it's
advantage
nice
of
their. That whole thing.
He was a jerk. Let's
like,
put it that way. I think, but
yeah.
And he even admitted it to Gabby. He was. He's being. Yeah. And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really.
It's like they basically used each other. Bottom line. But,
yeah.
Well,
yeah. And she admitted.
Like,
yeah, she did too. And she. Yeah. They kind of more or less. Yeah. Agreed to that. But it was just like. Okay,
but,
I thought
it's really weird.
What I find
weird about this is that, you know, Gabby's not that experienced in the world. She's a young girl. She's all her first experience is with Will. It's not
with
she's
Will.
So worldly that this is just another booty call or friends with benefits, and it's so casual for her. I mean, I don't know. This just their friendship, but I just was kind of offended by that whole like. Oh, yeah, let's laugh it off, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that happens, but I'm just saying, like, it was just kind of like, really? I don't know. I don't know. I just didn't like that.
You know, I think it's a good time. I'm going to bring on Angela and see what she has to say. Hey, Angela.
Hey, ladies. Can you hear me okay?
Hey there.
Crystal clear.
Yes.
Okay,
hi,
good.
Angela.
I was just listening to what you were saying about Will and Gabby's story, and I really obviously I agree with almost everything you guys have been saying. I think that, you know, it's good in a way that they're going to at least have, you know, because what I've read is coming up and what will be the offshoot of this liaison they had last week Yeah, well, at least that's going to give, I guess, somewhat of an interesting twist or story for Will, because I think that, you know, I think that they're concerned about just having strictly a Will and Sonny story, which at this point, I'm not quite sure I understand why they're concerned about it, because, you know, they've been setting this thing up now for at least 18 months. But but anyway, I think that, you know, that will probably add some more, could add some more angst and drama. I just kind of wish they would have brought another teen girl in. I just, you know, again, I don't wish anyone not to have a job at all. I just think that, you know, they really have misused that poor Gabby character. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's just disturbing that they keep taking these female, you know, young girls, and if they don't have a story, then they make them crazy. and so they're doing everything they can just to catch a man. You know, that they did that with Abby, and then although that turned out to be quite a good story out there than I thought it would be, but you know, then Gabby, I just don't feel it. From what Twitter, you know, when you read it on Twitter, I don't think a whole lot of other people are feeling it either. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they can really make a story out of it, and if it's going to parallel Sammy's youth or not. But, I think that's – I would have just preferred that there's so many young actors who are out of work from One Life to Live, and even All My Children, and in General Hospital. Really, really good actors who are looking for jobs, and they do have some experience. And so if they're going to make some changes, you know, it seems like this would have been the time to make some of them. But anyway, it doesn't look like that part's going to happen anytime soon. So I guess we'll see what happens with Will. And I think this, you know, it's confirmed for him that he is gay. So that's, a lot of people, I think, were worried that, oh, they're going to, you know, go back and you reverse the whole storyline, and I don't think they're going to do that, but it'll add some interest to it. McAllister, I have to really think about McAllister, because we say Ian Buchanan so much, and I just what I call the character, even on the show, Ian Buchanan. But it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that too, and he was so good. And through the entire thing, I just kept thinking, if we had only had some of these dialogue writers, other than the Kiltons, and of course, like I said, I would have been happy if the Kiltons had just been writing the whole show for quite some time, but. They really did, even though, and I agree, you know, some of this whole wrap up on the coin, the key in the box or whatever it is, you know, was pretty far out there. But it was just so well, I mean, the actual dialogue between the characters is like what Anna was saying, you know, James Scott and Ian, I mean, it was just unbelievable. I mean, who would not sit there with their eyes glued to that? It was really that good.
Exactly.
It was that compelling.
Exactly.
So, I feel like, you know, we've got some good, excellent dialogue writers. We've got some good breakdown writers, and at least some breakdown writers that have been on the show in the past under some good circumstances. So, I think that's all positive. You know, we just have to kind of wait and see. And cool. You know, and
what if you think of the race BS at the end, like where he comes in?
Oh, you know, I hate that, Anna.
I know that's a perfect question. Gee, am I like teeing this up for some reason? That's like letting the air out of the balloon. I mean, I said that a minute ago, and it's like that's how it felt. Like wah wah wah. Buns over, kids. We're back to safe. You know, something like
that.
I wonder if they really will. You know, I guess I'm trying to stay optimistic that maybe they're not going to completely go back to even exploring safe in any depth, because we've already been there. It has failed multiple times, and nobody wants to watch it, and they have the ratings to prove nobody wants to watch it. So, to me, that But again, of course, I'm partial. I realize that, and all respect to those folks that are safe fans and big race fans. I'm not in that group, but I respect everybody that's their favorite. But I honestly just don't see. I kind of think that maybe there really are. What would make more sense to me would be as if we're going to have race, and obviously, you know, Galen's contract is up in September, so, you know, it's probably more than likely he's going to get renewed and he's going to be on the show. Whether we all understand all that or not, I think that's almost like a given. I've just given up. I don't want to say giving up hope, and that doesn't sound very nice, but I think he's going to be there. So if just make him the foil for EJ, and if they really write it, you know, and I think that, you know, with the dialogue writers they've got now, they did do. I'll give credit to, I guess it was, I don't know if it was Carolyn Coulton or Richard Coulton, but it was one of those people that we love that as writers.
You mean those people who actually know how to write good dialogue that people will watch and enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they actually
that actually pay attention to history and, like, real life.
Oh, I know.
Those
are awesome.
The dialogue
was amazing
this week. The dialogue was unbelievably good. Yeah.
Excellent. And even Rafe had some clever lines. Now, again, at least they're all getting some material. Some can do more with it than others, you know, in my opinion, you know, which doesn't really mean anything, I know.
Yeah,
but,
narrows it down.
But, I really think, you know, honestly, you know, I thought there were some really clever lines for him. And so, you know, if he's a foil, he's going to be a foil for EJ no matter what, because, you know, if they're making race, Mr. Superhero of Salem, and they're determined that's what they're going to do, which it sounds like from a lot of accounts that is exactly what they're going to do, then it's going to make sense that then he's always going to be kind of the nemesis for EJ. So, but hopefully that doesn't necessarily mean that Rafe and Sammy are going to stay in this quadrangle, triangle, whatever it's going to be, because I know a lot of the EJAMI fans will, you know, they want the show to succeed. Obviously, they want, you know, to see James Scott have good material. They want to see EJ and Sammy together. I want to see it. I've been watching the show for almost 40 years, and I've certainly been watching it for the last 6 years. And I feel like if this is the time, they're either going to try it now or never going to do it. So hopefully they really are going to write for EJ and Sammy for a change and write some interesting story. Make it's going to be kind of dark and, yeah, it can be kind of interesting. It concerns me desperately, though, that when they write for Allison Sweeney, I'd love to hear what her thoughts are in real life. I know she probably won't, you know, she's always very politically correct and an advocate for the show, so she's never going to really complain about anything. But, you know, she has to be concerned. I mean, they have written her in the last, you know, 12 months, really like some type of, you know, kind of, I'm trying to think of a nice word, but, you know, the four-letter word that starts with an S and ends in a T, I mean, that's really, truly is how they have written her, because, you know, she's with Rafe, then all of a sudden she's with Lucas, and then she's looking at EJ, and then now she's, you know, then she's back with EJ, and then now she couldn't remember Lucas's name the other day, you know, and now, so, it's just, I understand that they were trying to make some adjustments, and I would have preferred, if you got to have a triangle, which I don't know that you really have to, I would have preferred that they wrote with Lucas, more independent, certainly not an appendage of Sammy, and really given that a shot, because I think that Lucas and Sammy and EJ are a better triangle than Sammy and Rafe and EJ. But I'm concerned. I mean, I don't have any idea what the plans are, and I hope that there are some better stories for Brian, because I really.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. The show's talking.
Marianne, are you there?
I was going to say, I didn't hear anything there for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, that was odd.
Sounds like Angela's gone.
Hmm. Yeah.
Did her call drop?
Is Angela there?
Did her call drop?
Yeah, it my computer's all frozen up again, so I can't even look at the dashboard right now, but I'll try to get back. Yeah, she must have dropped. The Sammy thing, oh my boy. I mean, there was a spoiler out there that she's supposed to, that she gets close to EJ and then she decides that she's going to put her kids first, and it's like, okay, let's see that happen. But she's never done that ever. But, so we'll see with Sammy. It gets to the point, it's like, how can you get invested in any of the couples with Sammy because she's so fickle? She just, you know, keeps
right.
switching them out. It's gross. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all
yeah.
here.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, and the other news this week, Nadia Bjorlin is coming back for a short stint starting in January, on air in January.
Oh, in January.
Wonder if she's taking Daniel out of town.
That's what everybody's saying. They all think she's taking Daniel out of town. Because I think Sean Christian's contract ends in February or something like that. So that would
February or March.
So that's what they're thinking. And Parker is coming with her.
Oh.
So we will be seeing. Oh. Yeah. So we'll be seeing the baby. Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
Either that or she's bringing Philip back. I don't know. I saw where they
bringing
said another
Philip back.
They said that somebody was coming back, but it was some person I've never heard of. That was on 30 years ago or something. I don't know.
Oh, they're bringing Nick Fallon's mother back.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Jessica Fallon. And it is the original actress, too.
Oh,
it is.
Well, that's
yes,
kind of cool. Maybe
and
a
that's
shout
Marie
out to the whole
Alex
mental Marshall illness thing or
daughter.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going way back.
Yeah, she's on next week. Next week's the Nick week, which I'm really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like Blake Ferris a lot, and I really enjoyed the interview we did with him. He's a fascinating guy, and I missed him. I have to check his tweets. He was supposed to make an announcement about one of his movies, and he said he was going to do it this past week. So I have to check his tweet to see what the announcement was, because I must have missed it.
Oh.
Yeah, so, But actually, I'm stuck on a website and I can't get out of. And it's believe it or not, Ian Buchanan hasn't been on General Hospital since 1989.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
That's kind of like when they brought Leanne back to Dave.
Yeah.
Kayla had been back several times, but she hadn't. And Finola's been back several times, but Ian hasn't. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and they killed off his character in 1990. So that's going to be something. But everybody's been wanting him to come back, so I'm glad he's finally doing it. That'd be pretty cool. And I'll turn it into it in to watch him, too. I think that'd be fascinating. So, his character's iconic. And I remember all the pictures of him and Finola from Silver Digest back in the 80s. You know, I remember all their pictures.
And
they
honestly, he's gotten better with age, I think. I like his salt and pepper / silver fox look. Whew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He looks fantastic. And so, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's just bittersweet because I really liked him on Days with Lauren and stuff. So, it's bummed about all that.
Yeah, but I'm happy for him. So,
I hope it's true because I'm happy for him too, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for the fans who've wanted him back on GH for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that GH just get back to the roots. And, you know, they did a good job, it sounds like, with bringing the One Life actors onto the show. So.
Sometimes they get what they want.
Yeah, sometimes.
sometimes.
You know, I don't know what's going on. I'm back on the dashboard finally. It's saying Angela is still on the air. So that's really weird. The dashboard's been funky. See, Tuesday, it wouldn't turn off our interview with Martha Madison. I tried to turn it off twice. Rose came in. She tried to turn it off and never turned off until after the 2 hours expired.
Angela thinks she's still on the air. I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
I just hung up on her, so hopefully she figures out that she's on the air and she can call back in. But yeah, and then with Matt on Wednesday, the times were all off all over the website. It would say that the interview with Matt was until the next day, and then when I was in the dashboard, it was running 3 minutes faster than the real time, and oh my goodness gracious. And a lot of people, I heard complaints that they couldn't get the audio and they couldn't get in the chat room. And it's still, the time is still a little bit off. It's about 2 minutes off on the dashboard. Wow, goofy. Goofy, goofy, goofy. We had a big return this week. We had the return of Maxine in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her scenes with Melanie were really cute.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So I don't think Tomlin's got his hospital back. So I'm sure they'll be using that a lot for the next few months.
Well, and he's a nurse again. I kind of forgot he was a nurse before.
Yeah, these people are working again on the show. But yeah, so what do you guys think about Brady being in denial that Madison is dead to the point where he doesn't even want her death announced publicly and didn't want his family to know? I mean, that's bizarre.
He's weird.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Yeah. I think that Brady would react like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing just
shows everybody's
so effed up right now because they're transitioning and all. It's annoying.
And we did get magic this week, so we got to bring that up. So,
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
Magic.
So, yes, Sarah gets her magic muffins and magic balls mentioned. So, but yeah, that was kind of odd, too, that Maggie just kind of forgot to tell Melanie that Nick was going to be out. And Maggie should know because she's Nick's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So she would have known about Nick getting out.
The whole thing is silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that happens. So sometimes victims never get told that the person who victimized them is up for parole. I mean, that actually does happen. So, anything else we missed this week?
And T's back.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
It's Sunny. Yeah.
Who's back? What'd you say?
Attacking Sunny.
T. The one who punched Sunny this week.
Want to punch Sunny?
Oh, yeah.
Getting with it, yeah.
That, to me, that's so contrived. See, so far the story has been so organic with Will, and this is the one thing I'm like, this is such faux-like controversy here. I mean, come on. The guy's been out of the picture for months, if not a year. Suddenly he's all confrontive about Will being gay and stuff, but it's just... It honestly, you know, there's just so much positive, you know, response about the story to this point, even from people who might not be, you know, even pro, you know, I mean, like, even people that might not
initially
like the
idea. I guess what they're trying to show
like
is the bullying end of it.
Yeah,
is that what they're going for?
Maybe so.
On both sides,
no,
maybe.
It's kind of cartoonish, though, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think that's what they're going for, I guess, showing this.
Yeah.
Which does happen, but...
Yeah, sure, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it seemed kind of contrived to me. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, I guess
a lot of it
on.
Is.
Yeah.
The whole show.
I was going to say the whole show, you're right.
Yeah, like Sammy, she had to get into that black dress somehow before Rafe came.
Of
course.
So
what did she do? She spilled something on those flower, whatever she had on, pajamas or whatever. And, yeah, mm-hmm. she had to put that little tight black dress on so Rafe could open the door and see her.
And, of course, that would be the one thing that wife would want to, you know, donate to the cause for her to wear.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the most appropriate thing to wear when you're in hiding and you're on the run, you know.
Right, right. Yes.
Pajamas.
Didn't
want to
put it on for EJ, though, you know. She didn't want to put it on when EJ was there.
Right.
So, I don't know.
She knew what would happen.
She knew what would happen. Yeah, smart girl, yeah.
We would have kid number three with EJ in 9 months.
Yes.
EJ and his magic sperm.
Oh, yeah, there have been baby number five, no doubt.
Yeah.
Three for her and EJ, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Oh, yeah.
At least there's not a Rafe baby, thank God. Let's continue.
Do you think Daisy is going to go the kind of usual route that she is actually secretly in the closet, and that's why he's bullying Sonny?
I'm kind of wondering that too. Maybe.
I mean, it's cliche, and that's been done up 10 million
times. I know. That's why I'm annoyed by that angle.
Sonny said
story
something to the effect of that too. I think.
Hmm?
I think Sonny kind of. I forget what he said, but you mean about tea?
I got the impression that he thinks he's gay. Yeah.
Yes, there was something in the dialogue. I forget exactly what he said, but, yeah, kind of implying that he was, that maybe he is, too, or something, yeah.
I'm starting to think there aren't any straight guys that age in Salem. So I haven't seen any.
Yeah. Chad's the only one that I know of.
Chad.
Yeah, Chad's the only straight.
Chad gets all the young women to himself. 19-year-old. Well, so do you think we're going to have a Will Horton baby with Gabby?
I was thinking of that, too. Yeah.
Can you imagine Sammy a grandma? Holy shizzle. Holy
that family
shizzle.
Would be really good.
That, well, you know, because
he is
Sammy's child, and she seems to have a kid every time she has sex, so.
And they didn't plan what happened, so they might not have been prepared. But I could see Gabby maybe being pregnant, maybe miscarrying, but I can't see an actual baby being born.
Oh, Lord, that would be so
bad. I mean,
seriously,
you're going to have, 35-year-old Sammy's going to be a grandmother. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
But, I mean, holy cow. Oh, my God. That just gives me a headache.
How is that to their husband? Like, that's his step. Well, wait a minute. There we're going. That's his... Aren't they? That's his
stepsister.
That's his stepsister.
No,
no?
It's his step.
No,
aunt.
No, wait, that's not right.
Step aunt. Oh yeah, that's so much better. Right?
Oh God, here we go.
But can't you just see that happening? That might actually make it interesting, you know? Because right now I don't find that so interesting, but I don't know. Then we just have to listen to Gabby moan and whine for 9 months. So I don't know.
Oh gosh, I thought it was. Interesting is Sonny actually didn't look perfect this week, but he got really upset that Will didn't want him to kiss him. Really upset, and then basically accused Will of going back to the closet, which I don't think that's Will's doing. I think Will's been so busy with EJ and all that drama that I just don't think he had a chance for a private life really at all. Yeah, so that was a heck of a fight.
That's kind of bizarre. I understand Sonny likes Will, but, he's not even worried about his uncle who's dead and his mom who's mourning her brother, but he's more worried about Will. You know, I mean, there's some continuity issues there, let's just say.
Well, I think everybody in Salem is not taking Jack's death that seriously. Considering how everybody reached out to Abe, unless he was dying and, you know, had all these moments with, you know, they're trying to take care of him and all that. And then with Jack and Jen, it's like, no one's that interested.
Isn't that kind of weird, too, that, I mean, I liked Kate's scenes with Lucas and Billy because they were fun. They were really funny with the Stefano thing, but then,
keep going down on her knees for him.
Yes, I was like, wow. And then who said that? Something about that visual or something?
That was Lucas.
It was a visual.
Like, we don't need that visual.
We don't need that visual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, geez. And then, but it's kind of odd that that Lisa Rinna's appearance on Friday shouldn't have been on in weeks and weeks. And
oh,
this is the same day they announced that she's leaving.
She's on.
Right.
She's leaving. Yeah.
So it was kind of sad. I mean, yeah, I feel kind of sorry for her because I feel like they kind of used her, and then they brought her in for her name and stuff, and then they hardly used her, and then now she's leaving.
That's what they do all the time to these
veterans.
They do it all the time.
Yeah,
true, I guess.
Yep.
So, yeah, and the thing is, too, is Billy was a big friend of Jack's, and she wasn't involved with that either.
Yeah, she's acting like she's not even, like, concerned about it or something. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you put Angela's back. Let's put Angela back on. Poor girl. Hey, Angela, what happened?
I don't know. My phone is... I can breathe a certain way, and all of a sudden I go on hold or mute, and I can't control it. I apologize.
No, I don't know. Yeah, on my side, it said you were still on, but you were off for a good 5 or 10 minutes. So I just hung up, and I figured, well, you know, you'll call back.
I'm not sure
what the heck happened.
I had gone on hold, and I couldn't see. Like I said, I've had vertigo all week, and right now, like I said, I can't even really look really closely at the phone and really read everything like I should. So anyway, but I'm trying to think. I was just agreeing with what y'all were saying earlier about the situation with T. I just don't understand why they did not use this opportunity to bring some different younger people onto the show. You know, at least that didn't y'all read at the time of the announcement about Mardar leaving that they were going to focus more on some of the younger audience, the younger demographic. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I agree with you. I don't want to see in that. I don't want to see a bullying story. I think they could really do with bringing in, some people. You know, the girl that played Christina on General Hospital. Originally, I can't think of her name right now, but she was, she was nominated for an Emmy, I think twice. And she available as far as I understand. Yeah, there's just some other people out there they could bring on that would, rather than just to resurrect some folks that, like Anna pointed out, T has not been on the scene in at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That part I don't know. But I just hope that y'all may have touched on this when I was off in hold land on my phone. But, I was excited to read that Nadia Dorlin is coming back. Did y'all discuss that?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, then. Yeah, we're just not really, really fans. But I liked her in the beginning when she was a cool girl, and I liked her with Phillip, mm-hmm. and then with the Brady. But the last few times she's been back, it's been kind of awful. Especially the last time, that was just the worst.
Her exit was awful, for sure. I agree with you about the exit story. My biggest gripe about Days, and you know I love it. I've been watching it for 40 years, and I do care about the show, but it baffles me, and I do not understand why they still stick with this ridiculous shooting schedule. Because when they announced that Nadia was coming back, and whether it's a guest star role or whatever they've agreed to, they said, and she would debut January the 4th.
Yeah.
2013.
Yeah. Like, how long? I mean, that's like 5 months?
And that is absurd. I mean,
crazy.
I
thought she was returning like sooner. I didn't realize January. I'm like, what? So why are they announcing it for?
There's no reason to announce it.
Stupid.
I mean, the ratings aren't going to go up in the meantime because she's going to be on in 4 months. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
They're
not going to go up anyway, but whatever.
I, I can't figure out why I understand Days needs to save money, and I know they need to be able to figure out how many episodes everyone's going to be on and how much screen time and all that. I mean, I understand that whole concept. But, you know, I look at General Hospital, and, yeah, Kirsten Storms is coming back. Jim Lilly, you know, had filled in almost a full year for Kirsten Storms as Maxie. And, I'm reading last week, she was like her first week back on the set full time, and she aired September the 5th.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is a huge difference, and like I said, I know this isn't the diva of General Hospital show, but
that's
I will
okay.
say it does look.
We were
good.
Talking about it before.
Yeah.
With Ian coming back, maybe coming to General
right.
Hospital.
Right, Duke Avery would be an awesome twist and surprise. And you know, they have Frank Valentini, the executive producer, the showrunner of that program, on Twitter touting this stuff for us. And, you know, I wrote something on Thursday or Friday saying, you know, Gary Tomlin helped train Frank Valentini at One Life to Live. So, you know, if Gary wants to kind of show folks that things are a little bit different this time around, why doesn't he get on Twitter and pimp
yeah,
some
right,
stuff?
Like that would happen.
I wrote
I
it now.
I wouldn't do if I was him. I wouldn't do it. But
so I hope that it just can't. There is another way for them to make money and not shoot that far in advance.
That's ridiculous.
It's stupid.
There is a 2-week shutdown coming up, right? Starting this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're off for a couple weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
James Scott's supposed to have gone to Burma for some type of photo adventure. There are a bunch of folks off, and I know. And also, Greg Vaughn, and I'm real excited about Greg Vaughn coming onto the show as my father, the priest. And Greg has really been pretty active on Twitter. You know, when he was on GH, he tweeted some, and then when he left GH, he made his account private. But he's really, I know last week he really made an attempt to tweet back to anyone who had tweeted to him. I know I was thrilled to death. I got a tweet back from him on something.
Cool.
And so he was really very interactive last week and answering questions that people had. People were asking, if he'd had scenes with, different characters, he said, well, I've really been working a lot with, this person, not as much with this one. He and Eric Martzoff are really, kidding each other back and forth a lot. So I think, I'm really excited. I like Greg as Lucky on General Hospital.
Me too. I liked him on that show.
So I wrote something two years ago about a story with he and Nicole and Brady. Now whether that's the story they're going to tell, I don't know. But
that would be nice.
But I think that would be awesome. I'm still completely in the dark about what the story is going to be with Eileen Davidson. I still don't know. Haven't quite figured that one out. Have y'all talked at all about that? She's starting to tweet more. She tweeted with Lauren today.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm still kind of curious. I've heard rumor that they were going to do like a Brady and Kristen type of thing. And they did show some pictures where they were doing this, that she and Marlena, she and Deidre had done some scenes, I guess, kind of reminiscent of the old Dynasty, Alexis and, I've forgotten the other lady's name. But just sort of a cat fight between Marlena and Kristen, so to speak. They filmed that, and perhaps it would try to use... do something, somehow with Brady with Eileen. But that's a huge, that's a pretty big age difference, too. I mean, that's like 20 years, isn't it?
Oh, I would say so.
At least.
Because Brady, Because Kristen's more like in John's age range. Because he, well, yeah, that would be father-son.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll be happy as long as they've got Eric Martsoff on the air and giving him some decent material, because he has unjustly gotten the worst of the worst. I think, well, there's several people that have gotten some of the worst in the last 9-12 months, but I don't think anybody could surpass some of the stuff that that poor Eric has been given as Brady. So I'm looking forward, whether he's drinking Brady or sober Brady or whatever, I'm looking forward to having some scenes. What do y'all think about Nick coming back? Because I guess I know that, like y'all were saying, Julie, you know, we've been really kind of giving the chorus that, you know, that Nick was returning, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody brought up the point on Twitter, and I really had to. I'm not quite sure I've even thought it all the way through. Were Nick and Melanie now related?
No, because Maggie's not really a Horton. Maggie's a Horton by marriage.
Okay.
So Nick's a Horton.
His grandmother is Marie Horton.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because Jessica Fallon was Marie and Alex Marshall's child. Okay. I was starting to get confused again about if we had some other strange relationship now. I still would like to see that egg baby story go away. Do you think there's any chance of that they'll reverse it?
I don't know. This Tomlin seems to really like Daniel. I don't know. I think they're probably going to keep that one as is. I think they did DNA testing because Daniel said he had the genes of Maggie's illness. I can never pronounce her illness. But he said he had the genes with he didn't have the disease. And I think same thing with Melanie. So they actually did extensive DNA testing with them.
Oh, you're right. Monocina gravis thing. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter at this point. We just need to, it's like one of those things that just probably needs to be, I mean, with Melanie leaving the show soon, maybe it won't matter as much. I'm just thrilled. I will say, like I said, one thing I'm thrilled about, and I will give Gary Tomlin credit for this, is that they certainly came in there and made it clear right away that EJ was Stefano's son. And I went, yay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was so
it still would have been a great story, I think, if they had stretched it out and really beefed up Ian's story and everything like they were going to do. And in the end, still ended up maybe Stefano was his father, but still, like, they could have really played it for a while. They had a lot of legs on that they could have.
Anna, you're so right. They could have written, yeah, why didn't they, you know, you've already said this earlier tonight better than I can say it now, but why in the world didn't they write the story of Ian being Santo's son and letting people know that months ago?
Right. Yes. And I think they were going to, and then when the new writers came in, they started deleting and hiding scenes that they had already spoiled and just totally took it in another direction. So,
well, I don't know. I like this about the regime change. I just don't. I think that the approach that Mardar had was really very slow, you know, to really bring things to head slowly. And frankly, bringing it to the head slowly, that story was just extremely boring. Now, when we got to the scenes with, where we had Ken, now those were good scenes.
The problem was that, when you have NBC in the middle of it, the push-pull, mm-hmm. I think they would stop and start and stop and start, because you can look at the story and see where they build up momentum, and then it would stop for 2 or 3 weeks, and then build up momentum, mm-hmm. and then stop for 2 or 3 weeks. It's almost like you could, you know, based on what Marlene said when she left, you know, you can kind of, and just other things that I've seen around and everything. So like you can pretty much visualize that she would get to a certain part in the story, go in for a meeting, and they'd be like, no, no, change this, this, and this, and then she'd have to go back to the drawing board. And I'm not saying she was perfect by any means. She and Daryl were perfect or anything. I had problems with some of the stuff they did, too. But I feel like there must have been a lot of stop and start. And when you're doing that to a character, it's not doing justice to their character development at all. So, you know, I'm glad Ian poured it on thick at the end and went out with a bang, you know, because, you know, he had the chops. He had great, there was just such great potential. And he and Lauren, whether some liked them as a romantic couple or not, it was undeniable how talented they are, you know, and how magical. And with some of the other characters mixed in, could have just been a great long-term story. And it could have been a huge umbrella story, quite frankly.
Yeah, they ruined it. One of the scenes where with James and Ian, you know, Ian McAllister was giving, you know, he was talking about, you know, his obsession from Madison and how much he had loved her and all this kind of stuff. You know, and I'm thinking, even if we had seen that, you know, I mean, he played it, he wrote, you know, they either wrote it and Ian Buchanan was able to just expand on it to the point where I'm sitting there going, I would have liked to have seen that story. That's a wonderful time. And, you know,
I'm sitting there thinking, why would anyone be doing that when they have Kate? I mean, I'm like, come on, the dude, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, delusional.
At the same, when he broke that liquor bottle in the hotel room and he confronted, you know, when Kate confronted him.
Oh, I know.
That was powerful. I mean, you know.
Oh,
I
mean, man, and there was a part of me that was just like, maybe this is the 50 Shades of Grey or something, but I was like, take her now, one last time, go for it, Ian. You know? And she wipes her lips off after kissing.
Like, what were they waiting for?
That was so awesome. I was just like, throw her on the bed.
Threw the drink in his face.
And that's what I tweeted to Ian. I said, so I guess makeup sex is out of the question. And he wrote me back. He's like, ha ha.
We're going to see him as Duke Lavery very soon.
That would be the one win out of all that. That would be great. I'd be happy for him and happy for us as viewers to be able to see that.
Well, and to see that he gets a nomination next year for the Emmys as the best supporting actor. I mean,
Lauren deserves one too. Lauren deserves one, too. Those were some great scenes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I hope that they're going to have her on the air more, and I think, you know, it sounds like, too, there's going to be more, I guess it'll be for Countess Wilhelmina. I'm assuming that she and Sammy will go head-to-head again. I look forward to that, because I think they do a good story together. So, Lauren is such a talented actress and really brings so much to anything that they give her. I'd like for her to be in a romantic relationship too, but you know, honestly, I guess I probably still want them to get back together, want her to get back with Stefano. I don't know how much time Joe Mescal is going to be on the show. I don't know what his new agreement is and how frequently, if he's going to be on like one day a week or is he going to be on, you know, and because, yeah, that'll, but
I don't know, I think grief sex with Kate would be great for a while. I think they should come to each other. That's what I think. And then I think I'd even be happy if they brought Bill Horton back. And then if Stefano and Bill want to fight over Kate, that would be fine with me.
I would think as far as I know, they're not. You know, they need to thin the cast some more. They've done, you know, a lot of the people that are leaving, I know none of us are happy about. I dread to see Peter Reckle go. You know, obviously I hate to see Matt go. There's a lot of people that I wish were not going that are, but the cast still needs to really be shaved down. And then once they shave it down, you know, I know all of you guys would like to see Teo back on the show. That would be awesome. And I think that that could be an interesting story with Kate and Teo.
Oh, my gosh. I've been trying for that for years.
We've been trying.
That would be my dream. We would all, like, faint if that happened.
I would have
happened.
Loved to see him with Ian, too. Him and Ian, you know.
Oh, yes. That's what I was
working together
with. We were tweeting for a while. Weren't we tweeting?
They both would have liked
that, triangle.
I think, to get themselves.
And I think Ian and Teo would have loved working together, but I guess that's not going to happen now.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, any of the really actors on the show, obviously, all enjoy working together because they, you know, challenge one another.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's obvious. So I agree with you completely. I guess when people start talking, and not that I have anything against Bill Horton's character or anything, but I honestly only people I'm going to even ever throw in out on Twitter right now or to NBC or anybody is the people that I just really, really, really want to see because, you know, mm-hmm. we've had several returns that, you know, really haven't done much one way or the other for the show. And, you know, again, not anyone's fault, not Mardar's fault, not the actor's fault. It's just
right.
a combination thereof that just didn't fall into place. But so I would, like I said, but if they would bring Teo back and so we would have Tony or Andre, which you guys, you know, articulate much better than I do. I know Marianne has written some really good tweets lately, too, about it. So, I think that would be awesome.
Keep tweeting about it.
Yeah, you've had some great tweets. That's fine.
Yeah. All of you do. And like I said, Lauren's doing a great job. And, whatever she's given, she does a great job. And like I said,
She's one of those people that could make reading the phone book interesting. She could
mm-hmm.
she could take the phone book and literally make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well,
I wish they would have made the dynamic and the story focused like it was, you know, for Ian and Kate and Ian and EJ and Stefano the whole time he was on there from day one. And that's the thing, that's what I was saying earlier, and I don't know if this happened when I was on hold with my phone. It's not your fault, but my fault. But it's just that they don't have a lot of time. So, I mean, there cannot be this infamous build-up for 8 or 9 months to get to a certain point on that show. They don't have that kind of time. They've got to go ahead and jump in and tell the story now, you know, just like if we'd have totally different ratings if we had had the story with Ian and EJ and Kate at the intensity that it was the last 3 or 4 weeks, if we've had that since February or March, you know, we'd have completely different ratings, I think. I don't, maybe not, but I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope, you know, whoever they bring back, they better darn well have a really strong story for them and have it moving. And that goes back to the thing with race, too. And again, everybody knows I'm not a big race fan. But, you know, there needs to be a real story and a purpose for him. And I hope it's not as a triangle thing with EJ and Sammy, because honestly, I just think, it's been done to death and it didn't work, so I don't know why we would continue it. But, you know, everybody needs to be firing on all cylinders and said that the story is really good. I was, you know, like I said, I was so excited about the ratings the first week they were back, and there were some fabulous scenes, and there was, like I said, I thought it was some excellent dialogue, excellent things all last week, too. But, I know people are gun-shy, especially the EJME fans, are very gun-shy and afraid that, you know, they're going to go back to the same old with EJ, Sammy, and Rafe because the stuff we've seen for 2 years.
Yeah, I wonder why. Maybe the fact that Rafe shows up at the very end and ruins everything again? I mean, jeez.
He just mysteriously appears in the room, just like a vision. They've got somebody turning the knob
out,
and then he's on the other side of the door. Yeah, I don't know. You're not going to get a very objective opinion from me about race and faith, but I just think, you know, they bet if they're going to have him on the show, he needs to be a serious foil for EJ, but it doesn't necessarily need to center around Sammy, because they really are hurting the character. I think they're hurting the character of Sammy by just, you know, relationship of the month.
You mean because
you know,
she bounces around from man to man?
No, I think I'm in love with you. Oh, let me kiss you. You know, I mean, that's just...
Well, everything loses its meaning. If she, like, 1 week she's professing her undying love to Lucas, and the next week it's EJ, and then, well, the minute Rafe shows up, she's thinking flashbacks of Rafe. It's like,
yeah.
It just the character loses all credibility.
Yeah, and I thought the divorce was final between she and Ray.
Yeah,
didn't
she
y'all?
Conveniently reminds him that she's still Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And let's not forget that. Oh, wasn't this week awful with everybody feeling bad for Rafe that Carrie left town with her husband and their unborn baby? I mean, I've never seen that before, that everybody feels bad for the guy who tried to break up their marriage. I've never seen that happen. That was just bizarre.
And yet
bizarre.
He's such a good moral guy, too. I mean, Rafe is the paragon of virtue. I mean, he's the best guy in town. Even Carrie said he's the best guy she's ever met, which means she must have only met two or three guys.
Yeah. And the thing is, none of the other characters have a problem with Austin. Maybe the person who really has a problem with Austin half the time is Lucas, because they're brothers. But, I mean, that doesn't make sense. You could see if Austin was just this bastard that people wanted Carrie to get away from him, but that wasn't the case. He was a pretty loving, caring husband who wanted this baby, and you know, it just drives me crazy. Everybody's like, oh, I'm so sorry for you, Rafe. Like, oh, yeah. And then 2 seconds later, he's after Sammy again. It's like, and she's thinking about him. It's like, he tried to screw your sister. What the hell are you thinking?
Well, it's all symptoms of people not having control over the story. And people think, oh, well, this isn't working, so let's do something else. But then you're 3 months behind, you know, by the time you get something on the air, and so you've already done damage. You know, if they wanted to test something and then it looked like a mess, then, you know, they should have enough time to be able to say, well, let's stop this now, not spend 3 months on it, and then abruptly stop it. But just like all the conversations, and they had multiple conversations with Marlena and Carrie and some with Sammy. And yeah, they were, and I think y'all talked about all of them. It was infuriating. You know, Marlena's just sitting there comparing Rafe with John and Roman and, you know, in her relationship. You know, I mean, there was no parallel whatsoever to Marlena's situation with Roman and John and Carrie and Rafe and Austin. There just wasn't. And she just, you know, and then they sat there at that stupid safe house, you know, Carrie and Rafe just about kissing and moving all over each other. And she, I mean, her parents are sitting there in the room. Yeah, Sammy is Marlena's daughter, too.
Yeah, and this Roman was telling Carrie and Ray to knock it off. I mean, he was the only one, and Kate, of course, too. Kate wasn't impressed with Ray at all, and, you know, had that dagger gift for Carrie. So there were a couple people blaming Carrie, but Roman was the only one who told Ray to knock it off. Everybody else, I mean, even Daniel told Ray to go after Carrie. I mean, it was just, it made no sense.
I hope they have got a real story bible that they really are sure about, and that they've got people that whoever the showrunner is, that person, whether it's the executive producer, whether it's Gary Tomlin, whether it's somebody from Sony, I don't care who it is. I almost don't care who it is. Not completely when I say that. I don't completely mean that, but somebody that's got some leadership and some strength to say, this is the story we're going to tell. Now, you know, if there's, you know, and hopefully they've got, I feel like they've got as strong a writing team as they've had. And so, you know, I guess I'm just kind of leaving confidence in that I think Lorraine Broderick. I think I like Tom White, so I think he did a lot of good stuff. I'm still not convinced Gary Tomlin is there completely as just a writer, but whoever it is, there needs to be somebody to defend, because I think that's one of the problems with MARDAR is just, like, you know, the fact that they didn't have the ratings and they didn't have a strong enough story to say, but we've got to do this, you know. I don't know. I mean, it's do or die for the show. It really is, and I'm excited that there's some good things, I think, that will come, and there's some things right now none of us really understand. And we'll just have to see how they play out. I don't understand how Kristen's going to work in the story. I don't know. I don't completely understand. I don't understand what they're going to do with Chad. Because to me, the whole team scene is in a crisis. To me, that's not a very good. You know, it's not in a good place. The Will story is good, but you know, all those other, you know, that endless. I mean, did y'all enjoy the time in the tunnel?
No. Well, some of the stuff was good. Brady and Melanie were kind of cute.
I will say that was one nice touch from Tomlin's era, that they actually remembered that Melanie and Brady know each other and they have this really loving relationship. That was one thing. I mean, I'm not real happy with Tomlin right now, but I was pleased with that, you know, that shout out to that, because it's been lost for like a year now. We haven't, Melanie and Brady hardly act like they know each other.
Oh,
and
do something, period. We haven't seen them do anything other than noon over Madison for 12 months.
Exactly.
Or 9 months, however long it's been. So, yeah, I was happy that he was on there, too. But as far as the Andrew, Corey, Gabby, Chad, you know, kidnapped Melanie for the 50th time. That, you know, like I said, you know, it's just like, you know, I kept calling them the tunnel dwellers. I just,
You know, and I had completely forgotten that, they had to remind us this week about, well, I'm sure she would forgive, you know, has forgotten by now, or forgive Nick for kidnapping her. I was like, I had forgotten that he had kidnapped her. But I was thinking, great, now that makes this story even more lame, because how many times can you get kidnapped in one lifetime? Seriously? I mean, I know it's a soap. But it's like she just got back from her most recent kidnapping, not to be confused with her prior kidnapping, the last crazy loon that kidnapped her. And I was like, jeez.
I don't know. Like I said, you know who else has disappeared is the little British guy that was an ISA agent that was helping out.
Oh, yeah, Spencer. He's gone. Yeah, he just disappeared all of a sudden, didn't he?
He just evaporated.
Yeah. Well, so did Billy for a long time till Friday when she reappeared and happened to be the same day they announced that she's leaving the show.
Well,
oh,
that was another mention.
Carolyn,
why
for a little bit,
did they ever do that
to
begin with? Why did they bring her back? Was it just strictly, you think? Yeah, I think y'all said name recognition. But, I mean, that was just, there was never, she never had a release.
It was for PR. It's obvious it was for PR.
Yeah, it's for, you know, get her fans to watch again, all it was, really.
Because they hardly did anything with her.
No, they didn't do anything with her.
And it's a shame, because she's a nice person, and I don't think they didn't really do her justice. They just used her, and then,
Well, like I said, I think it's, as far as, I love Julie Pinson's Billy, you know, a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I actually did. That's the Billy that I actually knew. I really wasn't watching when Lisa was on originally, but.
You know, I am curious about this coming up, because Blake Barris has tweeted a couple of times about there's a lot of romance or maybe not romance, but activity going on in Salem, I guess, with him. And so you have to kind of wonder, well, who is he going to get involved with? Do you think he's going to get involved with Melanie?
I don't know.
That's how it started out, right? Before he went. Because they kind of liked each other.
Well, he liked Chelsea, too, but she's off the radar.
Guess we'll see.
That would be wonderful if she came back. there's going to have. I think there's going to be somebody, and I just can't. That's one of the things I really can't figure out. You
know, what if it's Gabby?
Gabby.
Well, Gabby's going to be pregnant with Will's baby. I don't think.
Yeah,
she's
who knows?
Have...
I mean, I was just speculating on that, but that's
I can see that could happen.
But see, that's the whole point. They need to get some other. Like I said, I love that girl that played Christina on General Hospital, but there are other actresses too. There are all those young girls that were on One Life to Live that have all moved to California, and are not on. As far as I know, haven't gotten a really regular gig on anything. So, it's an ideal time to be able to get some people like that and beef up if they're going to beef up the younger group. They need to bring back, when y'all interviewed Martha this week. They need to bring back Belle, I think. And I'd kind of like to see Jen Lilly kind of be Belle, but like I said, I'm a big Jen Lilly fan, and I think she's really talented. I think she would be really interesting too in scenes with James Scott. I think that could be interesting. But they need to bring back some females in that age group. Besides, they've got Nicole and Sandy, and that's about it. And then Nadia will come in January, but they said it was a guest starring stint, so I don't know how long her commitment is to being back.
Well, girls, we guess we'll have to wait and see. It's actually time to wrap up. So, well, at least Steve gives us more to talk about this week. It was a good week. It really was.
Good things, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to thank Angela, Marianne, and Anna tonight. And we don't have anything coming up this week, so if nothing comes up, we'll see you guys see everybody next Saturday.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, girls.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.